Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss how you can design an online store without having a background in design. In a perfect world, we would all have the perfect skill set. We would have all the skills we would ever need for any client request that came our way. Our job description and our comfort zone would perfectly overlap. Alas, this is seldom the case. Today, we're tackling a specific scenario. What should you do if you are asked to build an online store with no prior design experience or training? Luckily for you, there's a lot you can do. On today's episode, you'll hear considerations on building a store from scratch versus using pre-established templates from platforms like Shopify and WooCommerce. Don't be afraid that using templates will prevent your site from standing out. Templates provide a great starting framework and offer options to customize the look and feel to fit your brand. Next, we'll go over what to look for in a web store template. Don't select a template because of its name or genre. Rather, choose a template that supports the kind of store that you want to own and operate. Then we'll discuss ways to make your site as visually appealing as possible. Simple principles like alignment, contrast, and repetition will communicate professionalism and provide a great shopping experience. After that, we will talk about some other design considerations you should keep in mind, like how you should set up your product page and the images you should be ready to use. Finally, we'll explore ways to handle frustration when the project gets difficult. Don't be afraid to pitch collaboration and outsourcing to your client when you come across something that is beyond your skill set. If you can relate to being asked to do something outside your comfort zone, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. All right, Chris, welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Good to see you, Ryan.
It's good to see you too. So we're talking today about how to design a store effectively if you're not a designer. And my first question for you really is, how much are we talking about doing this from scratch versus using a template from a website?
So that's a great question. And the reality is it totally depends, as you could imagine. Mm-hmm. If you're just getting started, then those templates on whatever platform you're using, those templates, those first versions of themes can be very, very effective to get started, right? You pick one and there it is. And people worry that, oh, my site's going to look like everyone else's site because we're all using the same template. And there is a level of that that is true. But by the time you put in your own logo, by the time you put in your own products, by the time you take away parts of the design that you're not using, it will end up looking more like yours than anyone else's, right? So that is an excellent way to start. But one of the challenges, of course, downstream is that you realize, well, I do have some other things that weren't accounted for in this theme. And so you can often hire someone to just help from that theme, help move a little bit forward, right? Mm-hmm. And then eventually you get to, oh, I want to do some unique things. I want to do some stuff that's important to us, and that may push you into custom design. But the other dynamic in this is when it comes to e-commerce, there's really two kinds of design, right? Mm-hmm. There is the creative design, the imagery, the physical look of the site, and that's for sure design. But there's a lot more to design than just the graphics, right? Mm. You when you design an experience, you're also choosing which features and what flows and what interactions are happening where, and non-designers can have a lot of impact in that realm as well. Mm. So you and I have probably both shown up to an e-commerce store where we are given an opportunity for free shipping if we give them our email. But some people do that with a little banner that goes across the top of the site and it's non-obtrusive, and others do it with a pop-up, right? Mm-hmm. And it pops up big and right in your face and you haven't even seen what's on the website to know whether or not you're going to buy something, mm-hmm. to determine if you want to give them your email, right? It's very, intrusive and even though it works, right? And people will say pop-ups work, even though it works, it could work better, right? Mm-hmm. And there is a design dynamic to that as well that isn't about the look of the thing, but also just what do you want the experience to be? And so when a builder is building, whether they're creative or not, there's still a lot for them to be involved with by saying, hey, let's put this in the header instead of a pop-up, or the customer says, hey, I want to do this. And you go, oh, you know what? Let's try and do it this other way. And so there's a lot of design that's involved in that, that a store builder doesn't necessarily have to be a graphical genius to do.
Okay. So you may not be an expert in design, but you're an expert in being a customer and having experiences, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. I know that coding comes up a lot, and coding's kind of a popular topic these days. Is that something that you recommend that someone invest in? Is that an important skill, or do you think that that should not be a priority?
So I think store builders who are creating online stores, the need to code will be dependent on the platform they're using.
Okay.
Right? If you're using Shopify, there is a whole lot you can do by, you know, spinning up a store, picking some add-ons, and picking a template, and you don't have to code a lot. If you're using WooCommerce, you can pick a theme, you can install some extensions for WooCommerce, and you don't have to code a lot. Then the first level of coding that's going to come up, right, is more design-centric, is going to be the CSS, right? Mm-hmm. I want to make this bolder. I want to move this over to the left. I want to change the color of this. I want better contrast. And so you pick up a little CSS. But eventually, you're going to end up being in a place where, yeah, you're going to have to know how to code some things. Now, where it gets interesting when we're talking about designing without being a designer is that some of the code that you're going to learn, right, you'll be better off learning, is the interactivity stuff. And that would be more JavaScript heavy than, say, PHP heavy, right? Mm-hmm. And that JavaScript, learning that JavaScript will end up being applicable across a lot of different platforms, right? But for example, one of the first things that a store builder often incurs when you get to that next level of building the store is the customer says, I want to integrate blah, blah, blah. It's some other product. And it's often a SaaS. It's often a feature, right? If you want to install, and if that SaaS doesn't have a WooCommerce plugin or doesn't have a Shopify app, but they say, hey, you know, we work with anyone, right?
Yeah.
Then you're going to start doing the, let me go grab this code, put it in here. Let me make sure this JavaScript is being called by my site to that SaaS and kick off this. And so eventually you start getting really comfortable with JavaScript.
Okay, great. So you mentioned that templates is a great place to start with. So I know websites like Shopify, WooCommerce, and Wix do give you some templates to start with. What should you be looking for in a starter template? What's kind of your starting point?
That's great. So what most people end up doing is when they go pick a when they pick a template to use, they're doing it based on the imagery of the template, right? So let's say the name of the template is food or foodie, and then you're running a food blogging thing that has a store that sells some merchandise, and you go, oh, well, I'm a foodie and this is a foodie, so I should use this.
Yeah.
That's not a great way to make a choice.
Okay.
Right? The way in which you want to make a choice is think about the experience. So the experience to an end user coming in is going to be like, well, did you pick a template that was designed for 40 products and you only have two? That's going to be jarring, right? That's not going to make a lot of sense. It's going to be odd, right? I have a whole big page and I see your catalog and it has two little squares and everything else blank. And you're like, yeah, that wasn't a good selection. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what it comes down to is going, okay, the structure of the template, does it match the structure of what I need? So again, you don't have to be a graphical genius to say, I'm selling two courses. So I'm going to look at all the templates. Even if it says foodie and I'm not selling food stuff, I'm going to look at all the templates that are selling 1, 2, 3 products. If it was designed for the quantity of products, that's good news. You might look at the next thing, which is to say, what's the about page look like on that theme, right? Does it mirror what the things I have to say or not, right? Some of them can be very large. Some of them can be somewhat small. If you have a lot of content you have to share in your about, right, then you'd want to look for one that has a better match.
Mm-hmm.
So those are definitely parts of it. Knowing that you can always change the photos, you can always change the titles, You want to look for, even though you can always change the font, if a particular template or theme is coming with a font, you may want to make sure that it's highly readable, right? A study several years ago was done. I don't know if you've ever been to those parks where you walk through the park and it has stations where you can do exercises, right? Mm-hmm. And you walk up to it and they have a sign, right, that tells you how to do the exercise. And what they did was they started changing the font. And as they changed the font, they made the font more and more ornate or more complicated, harder to read. Mm-hmm. And as they made the signage harder to read, people started feeling like the exercise that they were being asked to do was harder.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Just because it's harder to read.
Yeah.
Well, it's incredibly applicable, right, if you're building a store, right? Because you don't want anyone to feel like, well, buying this thing may just be, getting through checkout may just be harder, right? I was just in Vegas, and I'm walking through one of the set of, you know, the indoor mall that is essentially designed for you to spend money because you just want it in the casino floor, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm walking through the shops at Caesars, and there is a new store there, and the signage of, you know, of the name of the store, I cannot read. Mm. It's in a horrific font that is just, it's too complicated. Like, I'd have to walk up, stare at it, and figure it all out. And so you walk by the store. Like, that's just too complicated. Mm-hmm. So looking at how easy is it to read? Remember that the audience of your stuff is going to be at a certain, you know, typical age range. So if you're selling, you know, cool clothing for kids going to high school, those kids can read, right? And they do it on their phone and whatever. But if you're selling solutions for back pain and you're talking to a 50-year-old and you have a 12-point font, you're not selling,
right?
Because it's hard to read for your intended audience, right? So those things are not, again, it's not about necessarily about graphical design. It's about making choices that align with the objective of selling.
Okay.
And in this particular case, we're talking about making sure that the font is clean, it's easy to read, and it's large enough for your intended audience.
Okay, right. So when it comes to this, I think this is like a really interesting topic here. Do you recommend that people have a target website in mind that they're based off of? Like, do you recommend people go find a website that they like and kind of, is it okay to copy a website that you like?
So if you're building a lot of stores, you're going to run out of inspiration pretty quickly.
Okay.
Right. Like you're going to get to a point where you're like, this is the third store I built or the fifth store I built or the 10th store I built. And now, you know, you're like, okay, what are we doing here? What's, you know? And so it's easy for, as a builder, to get a little bit like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't have the skills, but I don't have the inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to talk to a customer. Now, of course, the customer, the store owner will tell you, I like that store over there, which cost millions of dollars, right? My favorite, there's a internet businesswoman, right, who runs a website, and Marley's site has always been like just beautiful, right? Mary. Yeah. And her store has always been beautiful. Her website, it's an online course that she opens and closes every year. And people come back going, I want that site. I want that site. I want that site. Mm-hmm. What makes that site is not the layout or the theme. What makes that site is the photography, mm-hmm. right? If you don't have a photographer and you're not paying for that level of photography, if I just took the same structure and dropped in stock photography, it'd be like many other sites and you wouldn't be impressed by it, right? So sometimes we get into this thing where we're going, okay, I want inspiration, but you got to figure out what is doing the inspiring and figure out whether or not you want to do it. I can't tell you the number of times, and I'm sure every store builder out there has heard someone say, well, this is how Amazon does it. And you're like, right, Amazon's budget is not your budget.
Yeah, right.
So we can't necessarily put every feature in there. But let's talk about things you like that we can do easily, things that may not make sense. Again, if you're looking at Amazon, but then you turn around and you have four products, almost everything they do is not going to apply to you, right?
Right.
So yes, it's worth getting inspiration, but it's going and finding ones that make sense. Now, you don't want to copy it, but you do want to take your version of what they're doing. And that's why having that conversation about what inspires you is helpful. Because if they say, well, what I really love about this is the photography, then you go, great, let's go invest in getting you really high quality photography. Mm-hmm. What they say is, look, a lot of the stores I'm seeing are, you know, multi-column when they're showing the catalog. And I like this one that is single column, right? It's one product or another product. It feels more like an Instagram feed than it does in store.
Okay.
You go, great, we can do that without copying them. We can just take that inspiration, single column catalog, let's go do it.
Okay, great. Yeah, so that visual appealing element is an important part. For someone like you who's been doing this for a while, what are kind of some simple design principles that people should keep in mind just to keep it visually appealing?
So alignment, right, is a big one. Make sure that all the things that you're doing are aligned in the places where they need to be aligned. Now, again, you know, that sounds insane, except when you go visit some sites and you realize, ooh, part of it is aligned to the left, some of it is aligned to the right, something is aligned in the middle, and you have no strategy for this design. And you don't have to be a visual genius to go, oh, alignment is pleasing. So let's choose intelligently how to do alignment.
Right.
Contrast, right? Contrast is critical. If everything is screaming out at you, like if everything is bold and everything is bright and everything has these tags, sale and promo and new, if you have 16 different tags on the page, I don't know where to look, right? So contrast is, oh, look, there's a whole lot of stuff here that is all fitting together. And then there's one bright red tag or one bright orange tag or one green tag or one menu item that's bold. And you go, ooh, I think that's where I'm supposed to click. So helping your customers, you know, and helping your customers' customers, right? So the store owners' customers, helping them know what to do next is critical. So that means all the buttons shouldn't be equal and all the tags shouldn't be equal and all the pricing shouldn't be equal. Right? If you want to drive someone somewhere, use contrast to make sure that you're doing it right.
Okay.
Repeatability, right? That notion that as I start navigating through your site, I start learning how your site works. If every one of your product pages is designed differently, that's going to be hard work for me because I don't know where to find the buy button.
Right.
But if all your product pages are using the same structure, then once I found one buy button, I know where all of them are,
okay.
Right? So that repeatability of design, making sure that the structures are similar, makes it easy for me.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I discovered a while ago, right? If you go to Amazon and you type in a search term, right? Let's say you're looking for sleeping bags. Mm-hmm. We talked about that once recently, right?
Yeah.
The Duolingo, the Duel XL, whatever crazy sleeping bag.
Yeah.
If you were looking for sleeping bags and you type sleeping bags and you get a bunch of results, the nav bar on the side doesn't show you the attributes of your sleeping bag.
Hmm.
But if you search for the sleeping bag in a category, right, in outdoor gear, then the navigation on the left does show you the attributes. It took me forever to figure out, why is it sometimes the nav shows me options that I can say filter, 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 and other times it doesn't? That's maybe one of the only things I don't like about Amazon, right? Like, if I'm searching for sleeping bags and I get sleeping bags and I'm in that realm, I should always get that nav, right? That's the repeatability, which again, isn't so much about the creative design, the visual design, but it is about the usability,
right?
That makes it so I don't have to guess, why did the filter show up once and not show up another time, right? You want that consistency running throughout.
Right. And this is also a good point that you can learn just as much from a bad site as a good site. You know, you can go through, don't just study the good ones, but
And
take notes
and,
what you don't like.
When we were looking at personalization on e-commerce stores, right? I was doing some analysis, and I went to one site. I think it was J. Crew, and almost the entire homepage was all female models with female clothing. As we were getting ramped up to summer, but they sell men's clothes, so I went to the men's section, right? Click men's. And then I clicked several items in the men's section. I went back to the homepage. It looked exactly the same, right?
Mm.
And you go, okay. But I went to Urban Outfitters and it was all women models. And then I clicked men's and I went through the men's stuff. And then I went back to the homepage and the homepage was all men's stuff. And you go, yeah. Right. You just my clickstream told you a little something. That's design in my world, right? That's design. Even if there's no visual, creative, illustrative work on the page, the design of my experience, and granted, I'm using the term loosely because I'm not a designer, but the experience design, right, was critical to shoppers, right? Yeah. Where you could say, listen, what I designed was the experience. So when someone goes in and you start navigating through here, I'm monitoring your clickstream, and then I'm using that clickstream to inform me about who you are, and that changes how I lay out the homepage and what products I promo.
Okay, right.
And so again, there's a lot, if you're not a graphic designer, I think there's a lot that still you can influence when it comes over to the design of the store.
Right, right. Okay. So we've talked about some visual appeal items here. I'm just kind of wondering also if someone's working off of a template, what are some basic design features that your website needs to have? And these could be navigations or clickable links, but what are some things that you just absolutely have to make sure is included in your store?
So one of the things to pay attention to when you're looking at themes and templates for a store is the product page just a physical image, a single image, or is there a gallery, right? Mm. Is there a set of thumbnails that you can choose from to see the product? Because when you're, you know, we talked in a previous session, the different kinds of images you need on your website, right? Or on your store and product store site. When you're trying to show those products, we talked about, having a photo of the product in use and having a photo of the different dimensions or the you know, from 360 degrees. And then we talked about having a photo that highlights features. If you're going to show up with six photos for your product and your theme only has one image, that's not going to be a theme you want, right? So you want to look for galleries that make sense to you and that show off the product the way you want it to.
Right.
You're going to look at that product page the same way by saying, okay, what are the other elements on this product page? Let's say that I have a lot of reviews. Does this template or theme support the reviews of my product so I can showcase them? Because we know the power of reviews. We know how often people are going to read them to make that choice, right? If you go, again, back to Amazon, 10-15% of that page on a product is the content they produce, right? And 85% of that page is user-generated content, all the reviews that other people are leaving. So if your theme or template doesn't support those reviews, that's going to be a no-no,
okay.
Right?
Right.
A lot of times what we're seeing now, again, if you go to Amazon and you click on one of the products, you'll see that some products just have the photo and the details of the product and then what you'd buy other people looked at, and then they go straight into the reviews. That's their template. But other products, right? Products that really are focused on selling, before they get to those reviews, after they've done all the main stuff, they've added a whole nother section that is basically HTML. Right? They got banners and they got text and they got images, and it's all designed to sell you on the product, right? It's a lot more content below the fold on that product page. And so if you're going to do that, right, if you're going to create a larger sales page on your product page and tell the virtues of all the different benefits and all the features and all that stuff on the product page, then your theme needs to support it. Right.
Okay.
So you want to look at that demo content and make sure that, oh yeah, they have something like this in here.
Okay, great. So we're kind of running short on time a little bit. So in order to wrap up, I think, you know, especially since this topic is for people who are not necessarily designers, they're probably going to jump in. They're going to be excited. They're probably going to hit the wall at some point or get frustrated. What's your advice for when you're in that moment and you get frustrated? How do you handle that?
I'd say in general, right, if a customer shows up, if a store owner wants a lot of design and you're not a designer, one of the first things you can do is get a partner, right? Collaborate with someone. I work with a couple agencies that are predominantly developers. And when I pass them a store project, they're really good at writing all the code. And I can tell them, hey, I want this and do this and do that. But if the customer itself, if the store owner, is saying, hey, I really want, you know, this beautiful, photography montage, right? I want custom layouts that are design heavy, right? With this, that, a lot of, and I want a lot of photos. You may get to the point where you say, let's go get a photographer and or let's go get a designer, even if it's a partner for a short part of the project. But you shouldn't, as a store builder, you shouldn't fear going and getting someone else. A lot of times that first early store builder is like, well, I'm going to lose all my margin, right? And you go, no. You can actually pitch the third party to your customer, right? You don't have to hide it in your margins. You can literally go to the customer and say, listen, I can do this, but for that kind of photography, you need real lighting and you need a good camera, none of which I have. And I think what we ought to do is take another portion of your budget or take a new portion of your budget and assign it to going and getting, 2 hours of a photographer, right? Yeah. Or you'd say, hey, listen, we got all this I can do, but you have this logo. I'm not going to play at being a logo designer, right? Let's go get someone and do that. Now, sometimes what you discover is the customer will say, no, I don't have budget for that. In which case you're like, fine, we're going to 99 Designs and we're just going to pick up a logo and move on in life.
Okay.
But other times you're going to discover that the customer's like, oh, that's a different pocket that I pull money from. And so you don't have to eat that cost. You can pitch the customer and say, hey, I want to go get a photographer. And they're like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, the photographer is going to be another $2,000, another $5,000, whatever it is. And they go, yep, let's do it.
Cool.
So it's about, I think when you're a non-designer and you're building stores, there's a lot you can do without having to be a graphic designer. But in the end, if you need an artist, if you need a specialist in photography and graphic design and logo design, feel free to highlight that you need that. Develop a network of partners and bring someone in to collaborate with you. And don't worry about hiding that into your own budget. You can literally talk to the store owner and say, here's what I think we're going to recommend.
Great. Chris, that was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to successfully build an online store without any prior experience in design. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.